That's such a beautiful hymn. Love the sentiments of that hymn. And you know, I believe it to be the case that it's easier to sing that than to live it. To be able to take and turn our lives over to the control of the Master and allow Him to be in control through His Word, of course, and certainly not by force. And that is a matter of faith. Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to read to you verse number 19. Ephesians 5, now verse number 19, and you will probably want to put a bookmark there. We will refer to this verse several times this evening. The Apostle Paul said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I want you to imagine with me, if you will, a Christian at the grocery store, and they bump into a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker, someone they know, and the zeal that is in them, they begin talking to their friend about the Bible. And the conversation goes in the direction of the mechanical instrument of music. And as this Christian is talking to their non-Christian friend, and the subject of the instrument comes up, this verse is cited, and the friend says to them, but I don't understand where you're coming from. The word making melody involves an instrument. To be able to address that and to answer that is of utmost importance to us. The word that is used in the original language and translated as making melody is the Greek word, a form of the Greek word, for solo. And it has been referred to as the solo argument. And you may have heard that term, whether you know the origin of the word solo or not, that has been frequently used. There have been many arguments made in favor of the mechanical instrument of music, and all of which from the Scriptures have been adequately answered. I want to emphasize that we do not have to know the Greek language to understand God's will for us. We have access to accurate translations in our language that we can know the truth and we can defend the truth. I've always maintained that the understanding and the knowledge of the original can only highlight and emphasize and reinforce what God has revealed to us. I'm not going to get in depth on this Greek word, but I do want to pronounce it so you're aware of it, and I want to look at this argument from the word solo. Of all the arguments that have been made, two of which stand in contrast to one another. In other words, if someone is arguing in favor of the mechanical instrument of music in worship and use these arguments, they actually cancel out themselves if you logically think about it. Number one, it is argued that the instrument is an aid or an expediency in our singing, which is a clear command in the Scriptures. Let me give you an analogy of an aid or an expediency. This church building is an expedience. It is an aid. It is not a command. God did not command for us to build a building. It is something that we do that aids us in our assembling together to worship God and to study His Word. The pews that you are sitting on is an expediency. There is no command for pews. Songbooks is an expediency. In these things, if it is truly an expedience, it cannot violate or go against a direct command. The argument is made that the instrument, the mechanical instrument, is an aid. That can easily be answered by pointing out the fact that it alters the command to sing. It adds something to it in addition. The second argument that is commonly used is on this Greek verb solo, that it includes in it the playing of an instrument, as it is used here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Thayer defines the word as such: to pluck out, to pull out, to cause to vibrate by touching, to twang, to touch or strike the cord, to twang the strings of a mechanical instrument so they gently vibrate, and absolutely to play on a stringed instrument, to play the harp. Now, before anyone jumps to the conclusion based on Thayer's definition, that is the strict meaning of the word, that if you in the first century were going to, or prior, were going to use the Greek word to describe the act of plucking on an instrument, this would have been. But in the verb itself, it does not distinguish that. These two arguments cannot both be true. Because if the word solo inherently involves an instrument, then it cannot be an expediency. It is a command. Just like the partaking of the Lord's Supper is not an expediency, it is a command of something we do. There are emblems in which we use to, or containers that we use to carry out the observance of that command. If it is an aid or expediency, it cannot violate a command that has been given. If it is inherent in the word solo, as has been suggested, it cannot be an aid. If it is an aid, it cannot be a command. These arguments cancel one another out. The instrument of music was part of the Old Testament worship. It was never classified as an aid to their worship. In fact, it is a violation of what Paul has said in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, not to go beyond what is written. This Greek verb indicates, the basic meaning indicates the plucking, the touching, the twanging, and that would involve an instrument or could, but it goes on beyond that, and it is not inherent in the word itself of an instrument. The context determines the instrument. What is to be plucked? As we'll note, this word is described in the book of Ezra as the plucking of a hair from your chin, from your beard. Or if you got hair on your head, I guess you could use it for that. This word is the word that would be used if a carpenter stretched out a chalk line and plucked it, solo. That word doesn't imply what is being plucked or twanged, whether it's a musical instrument or a carpenter's instrument or a hair from the chin or the head. The Bible names the instrument, Ephesians 5:19. We'll get more into that in a moment. There was two forms of the Greek language, and maybe you've heard this referred to. There's classical Greek that existed prior to the New Testament, and that language at that time evolved and developed, as our English is and has. By the time you get to the New Testament, this word had evolved that, as we'll note some language experts, had come to exclusively mean to sing. Let's look at this verb solo and see if it involves a musical, mechanical music, musical instrument, either playing or using during the worship. A man by the name of O.E. Payne wrote the following, quote, "Instrumental music unavoidably," he says, "inheres," that is, contained within the word, "in solo, and therefore to employ it is mandatory." Now I want to say that as far as whatever's involved in solo is mandatory. If it involves an instrument, mechanical instrument, it is mandatory. Our question is what he's saying that a mechanical instrument is automatically involved in this word? By the time you get to our modern times, this argument has almost completely been abandoned by debaters. Let me qualify that. You go back and you read in the history of the Lord's church at the turn of the century, especially when the great battle of the instrument was being fought and there was debate. Many of the advocates of the instrument use this argument and since have abandoned it. That should speak something. It has been adequately answered over and over again. By the way, every argument in favor has been adequately answered, and there are no new arguments being presented. They're just being rehashed, rewarmed over for a new generation. We look at this word solo, and again, we do not have to be language experts. We do not have to be experts of the Greek language. As we look at its usage in the New Testament, we can come to an understanding of how it's used and how it is supposed to be used. Many of you may have a lexicon, which is a dictionary of the Greek language. Have you got a W.E. Vines dictionary in your home? It's a very good work. Mr. Vines, who's not a member of the church, did an exceptional job, and it is written in a level that is easy to use. It's not heavily based. He transposes everything over into English, and it's very easy to use, and it's very reliable. Other reputable men who have assembled together from history these lexicons, you will never find an acceptable lexicon that will translate this word to play the instrument, the mechanical instrument. As I mentioned a moment ago, in the classical Greek, the word carried, let me quote, carried the basic sense of to touch sharply, to move by touching, to pull, to twitch. Pirschbacher says, to move by a touch, to twitch, to touch, strike the strings or chords of an instrument, absolutely to play on a stringed instrument, to sing to music. Now listen to the last one. In the New Testament, to sing praises. The word evolved from its original meaning, and it came about by the time of the writers of the New Testament to exclusively mean to sing praises. As I mentioned, if you are able to look at the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, and you go to Ezra 9 and verse 3, you'll find that Ezra, in desperation, plucks the hair from his beard, and the Greek word used there is solo. He wasn't playing a mechanical instrument, was he? This word, as I mentioned, involved the plucking of a carpenter's line. It involved the pulling of a bowstring. That's not playing an instrument. You see, in this word, the object that is being plucked or twanged or pulled is not described. It's just the action of it. Let me give you another illustration. The Greek word to throw, the verb to throw, describes an action. It doesn't describe what's being thrown. If you have a sentence that involves the word throw, the writer is going to have to include what is being thrown. It might be a ball, it might be a remote, it might be a cup of water. It's not involved in the verb any more than the instrument that is being plucked is involved in the verb solo. So as O.E. Payne suggested that the word inherently involves a mechanical instrument of music is completely off basis with the usage of any word in any language. As we look at this word and understand that the subject must be implied, what is it that's being plucked or twanged? Hair from a beard? A bowstring? or a string on an instrument, a harp, or a lyre, or whatever the case may be. Context must determine. Involved in this also is what is known as the law of exclusion. Let me explain that. What is the law of exclusion? Do you remember when God spoke to Abraham and He gave him a command? It wasn't a suggestion, right? It was something Abraham was to do. Take your son up on Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. When God named Isaac as the sacrifice, it excluded Ishmael or any other person. The command for the priest was to be taken from the tribe of Levi, and that specific term or tribe eliminated any other tribe. Hebrews 7 and verse 14, the Hebrews writer uses that argument. The command to offer a lamb excluded that of an ox or any other animal. The command to partake of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine excludes Pop-Tarts and Coca-Cola. When God designated what we are to do, it excludes all other action and all other things. So as we look at this command as it pertains to us in New Testament Christianity, it only matters how this word is used and applied in the New Testament. Those that argue that the instrument was used in the Old Testament is easily answered that we are no longer bound by the Old Testament. What they did then does not pertain to us. We do not offer animal sacrifices. Why? It was a different law. We do not assemble in Jerusalem for a Passover or a Pentecost or any other feast. Why? It was under a different law. By the way, in the same line of thought, some go to Revelation 5 and verse 8 and say, well, an instrument's going to be in heaven. I believe if you'll look at that verse, you'll see that part of the things involved in that is in an obvious figurative sense. So why wouldn't the harps also be figurative? John would not have mixed a figurative and a literal aspect within the same sentence. Go with me. Hold your place in Ephesians 5:19. Go back to Romans 15, verse 9. Romans 15 and verse 9. This is one of the occasions this verb is used in the New Testament, and there Paul said, Romans 15, 9, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will solo to your name. Let's take the idea of a mechanical instrument of music and plug that in to see if it'll fit. Now, in school, were we not told that's the way you do it? If you have a word, take the definition and plug into the sentence and see if it still makes sense. Did Paul tell them that he would praise God among the Gentiles and play an instrument to your name? Well, let's carry that over a little bit further into the Word of God. Go over into 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, the verse is 15. At the end of the verse, 1 Corinthians 14, 15, the end of the verse, the Bible says, I will sing, there's solo, with the Spirit. I'll play the instrument with the Spirit. And I will play the instrument with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding. The context, as Paul is using that, demands that it is vocal, verbal communication in song form. Go back to Ephesians 5:19. And this, the word here, is it's the same root word, but it's in the form, a little different form. It's in a, my mind went blank. It's still the same root word. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing, that's a different word. I'll comment on that in just a moment. Singing and solo. Now, the noun form of this is seen back under the word psalms. Singing and playing an instrument. There's one translation, by the way, as I went through a long list of translations, there's one that in brackets beside singing put with instrument, not with solo. Some translations of this word in this verse has the word chanting. If you're familiar with worship of the first century, it would have been more in the form of a type of chant, a specific type of chant. It would still been verbal. It would still been considered a song. I'm going to have to backtrack on something I said this morning, and I want you to pay close attention and reason with me. In the New International Version, it translates this solo as making music. Now, I want you to think with me in just a moment. Singing is a specific term and music is a general term. Singing is a form of music. I don't know that making music is a wrong translation there. It does leave a miscommunication of the idea there that people read into it. But Paul names the type of music we are to make. What is it, singing? The previous Greek word. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and chanting, praising God, making music. When you sing, you're making music. Something I'll come back to in just a moment is in this verse. Notice the New King James says, speaking to one another. The construction there is reciprocal. Whatever one is doing, everyone else must be doing as well. And if this does involve the mechanical instrument, we all must play an instrument to fulfill the verse. One other passage, James chapter 5 and verse 13. This one is interesting. At the end of the verse again, he asks the question, is any merry? The answer to that question is that one simple word in the original language, and it's the word solo. Is any merry? Solo. That's the answer. It's translated with the words, let him sing songs, and that is accurate. Because this word, by the time of the New Testament, come to mean to sing a hymn, not to play. The object must be named in the text. Now, as you go through and look at this word, some of the verses do not directly name the object, such as we have in James 5:13. Other passages, as we see with the Apostle Paul, he does name the object. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5, 19, and Colossians 3 names the instrument. What is it? The spirit, the understanding, the mind, the heart. My dad was always particular in stating everything, and he would emphasize the fact of mechanical instrument of music. Tonight we sang with instrumental music, with our heart. And it came out verbal. One brother argued he never sang songs. He argued that it was necessary. And I thought, well, what's it going to be like if we all did that? It wouldn't be singing. Singing involves the voice. You can't sing and not use the voice. But that's a side note. The instrument is named. It's the heart. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. When Paul names the instrument, the object, the heart, it excludes the mechanical instrument. It cannot involve the hair or the bowstring or the harp or any other instrument. It is obvious that Paul is using this metaphorically because nothing is literally touched. Concerning this word, as you go back and begin to research in history and the usage of this word, there is not a reputable scholar, underline that, note that will translate this word as to use an instrument. Now, go back and research all these translations. There are two different groups, and you're well aware that all translations are not equal. There are the translations that are done by individuals. And I don't believe they carry the weight that a translation that is done by a committee. Let me explain that. The King James, the New King James, the American Standard, many other reputable translations would use a committee. What's the importance of that? It's based on a group of men who are very knowledgeable in the Greek language who would get together and compare notes as to how things should be translated. It's not based on one man's, "This is what I think." Now let me throw this out to you. Brother Hugo McCord, now deceased, was a great Greek scholar, and he did a translation, and it's a one-man translation. I think it's worth considering because of who Brother McCord is, but it's not on the same level as some of the others that we have because it is susceptible to Brother McCord's subjectivity and understanding of the Greek language. When you use a translation, you need to be familiar with the history of it. Who was it that was translating it? What background did they have that might be influenced in the translation? Now, with all that said, as you go and look at these reputable translations, not a one of them include the instrument. The one that I mentioned, the Amplified Bible, the classic version of the Amplified Bible is the one that put in brackets beside singing in Ephesians 5:19 with an instrument. And it's in brackets. It reminds me of what Luther did to Romans chapter 3 in adding "alone to faith." It was his prerogative, his perspective, and it was not correct. I want to show you the definition of four Greek scholars, what they define the term solo as, and I want to make an observation about this when I'm done. Thayer, you probably hear Thayer used a lot. If you use eSword or BibleHub.com, you have access to Thayer, and it's very reliable lexicon. And he defines the word solo. In discussing solo, after commenting on the word in the classical Greek, and then in the as well as in the Septuagint, he says, "In the New Testament, solo signifies to sing a hymn, to celebrate the praise of God in song." W.E. Vine, who I recommend, says the word solo originally meant to play a stringed instrument with the fingers or to sing with the accompaniment of a harp. Later, however, and in the New Testament, it came to signify simply to praise without the accompaniment of the instrument. A man by the name of Delling in the Kittle's work, speaking of Ephesians 5:19, contended that the literal use of solo was found in the Septuagint and is now employed figuratively. Not to play an instrument is what he's saying. Finally, a man by the name of Ralph Earle says, "Making melody is one word in the Greek, solo. The verb meant first to strike the strings of a harp or lyre, then it meant to strike up a tune. Finally, it was used in the sense of to sing." Now, I want you to get that. This word that is being used to defend the mechanical instrument of music is saying that it involves the instrument, but these men who know the Greek language says that it does not mean to do that by the time the New Testament was written. When Paul wrote Ephesians and Colossians and James wrote in chapter 5, as we noted a moment ago, in 1 Corinthians 14, and they used this word, they understood how it was being used. Now these four men that I mentioned, all of which were members of a church that used the mechanical instrument of music, yet they would argue that that's not what the word means. Let me make some final comments as we close our lesson. If the word solo means to play an instrument, then that is a command. It is not an option. I've had brethren, and the sad reality of this subject is that some of our young preachers are arguing for the use of the mechanical instrument. I had a brother ask me one time, "Why'd you preach on that? Nobody here believes in the instrument." I doubt you do either here tonight. I do it because it's a movement in the Lord's church. We have to be equipped to deal with that. But if this word involves the instrument, it's not optional, as I was told. It's a matter of opinion, Tim. No, it's not. It is a command. Ephesians 5:19 is something that must be done. If solo means to play the instrument in worship, then when you go back and read the church fathers that wrote shortly after the first century, they didn't just allude to the fact that it was singing. They spoke and wrote concerning the fact that it was not the mechanical instrument. If the word solo meant the instrument, then they didn't know that. And these are men that knew the Greek language. They spoke the Greek language. They lived at a time that used the Greek language. Since then, some of the greatest minds to translate the Word of God for us, such as those on the King James, the New King James, the American Standard, and many other accurate translations, the scholarship of the world since then didn't know the meaning of the word solo. Modern day man has reached trying to bring an argument based on an old meaning of the word. Now let me ask you this. I'm not asking for a show of hands. It would be interesting to see. How many of us can play an instrument? Let me tell you why I'm asking that. My cousin, when I was young, he was very talented. He was very talented. He could hear a song, pick up the guitar, and just start playing it. Just a matter of a few minutes, he'd have it figured out by ear. Couldn't read music a lick, but he could play. Oh, I'd love to hear him play the guitar. He sat down, he thought he was going to teach me to play, and he taught me about the first five or six chords of Wildwood Flower, and he gave up. He knew a hopeless cause. I can't play an instrument. I have two talented boys that can play the instrument. I'm not talking about just beating on it. They can actually pick it up and play you a tune, and they can learn tunes very quickly. Now, I don't know how many of you can do that. Where am I going with this? If this is a command of God, God is asking us to do something that only statistics show 1/3 of the population can play an instrument. 2/3 have picked one up and attempted to. Only 1/3 can play an instrument. God commanded it. As I mentioned, it is reciprocal. That if an instrument is demanded in this word, then we must play it and we all must play it. Can you play an instrument tonight? Would God ask you to do something that you cannot do? In modern day churches, if you observe, it's not everyone playing. Someone is playing to the audience. It's entertainment. When you get down to the final straw, the final argument, after all the others have been adequately answered, it always comes down, it's what we like. Another popular argument that is maybe someday worth considering is the aspect of surely not all these many people can be wrong. I believe careful reading of Matthew chapter 7 will reveal that the majority can and often are wrong. The lesson, the nature of the lesson is somewhat one that you struggle to communicate and try to express yourself with, but I believe it's important for us. Although here at this congregation, I believe we all understand that it is forbidden by God. We have friends and family that have no problem with it, both in and out of the church, and we need to equip ourselves with the ability to reason with them concerning this and any argument they may present if they were to. So that we can fulfill God's command that we're ready to make a defense to every man that asketh us a reason of the hope that's in us with meekness and fear. Tonight as we close, we want to take just a moment to extend the Lord's invitation that God provided a great gift. His grace extended a means of salvation, and that grace has conditions. We must respond to those conditions, and we do so by faith. Jesus said, "You must have faith that I am." And by our faith, we respond in obedience to the conditions He has given. To repent of our sins, to confess Him before others, and to be immersed into water where the blood that washes away sins is applied. If you're not a Christian tonight, why not? As a child of God, we fight against Satan and temptation every day. And if he has overcome, it's not the end of the story. We can make things right. If we've stumbled, if we've fallen, we can get back up. We can acknowledge that sin, repent of it, ask God's forgiveness. He's faithful. He will forgive. Tonight, if there's one subject, if you'll make it known by coming, we'll assist you as together we stand and as we sing.